Going to start off there at John chapter 19. We're going to start reading in verse number 1. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Lord, we do thank you and just pray just in earnest, Lord, that you'd be with us here in our midst just now. Holy Spirit, just fill me and just from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, Lord, just help me to be out of the way. Just minister to me as you minister through me to your people tonight with your Word of God. May the power of God be evident and be seen and realized and received by your people tonight. Lord, I pray you just be here, be the one giving the message, Lord, and just make it so. And Lord, I just want to be pleasing to you, Lord. Help the words to be said and just pleasing to you, and just want to give you the honor and glory. Lord, we're thinking about you and what you did for us, and I pray this message will be a blessing to the church and to you as well. Lord, help us just be mindful of just what you've done for us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 19, verse number 1, it says there in John 19, verse number 1, "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe, and said, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, 'Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him.' Then Jesus came forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said unto them, 'Behold the man. Behold the man.'" What I want to look at tonight specifically, as we look at our Lord Jesus Christ as he's going to the cross here in this passage, he's going to be crucified for our sins, and praise the Lord, he's going to be risen again too. But the thing is, he had to go through this all the way, complete. He couldn't bypass any of it. He had to do it all for you and for me, amen. And thank God he did. Thank God he didn't do any shortcuts. The one person that could deserved it, if he had any justification for it, God himself, he himself did no shortcuts for your salvation and mine. He went all the way, and thank God he did. But what I want to look at and focus on today is, as it says in verse number 2 there, the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns. And then in verse 5, "Then came Jesus forth wearing a crown of thorns." I want to focus on the thorns of Calvary. The thorns of Calvary. If you go to Hebrews chapter 6, Hebrews chapter 6 has a verse that talks about thorns, and thorns are not exactly something we delight in. Nobody wants to have a big bushel of thorns. Nobody wants a big thorn bush in their house as a decoration. I mean, thorns are not good. In Hebrews 6, verse number 8, it says, "But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned." Nobody wants thorns. I mean, they're not good. They're not good for benefit that we can see at all. I mean, they're just a nuisance. We don't like them, and they're not very nice. Thorns are normally what we disdain and we want to discard. We want to burn them. I remember in California, I worked with a fella, and he had a business where he would clear property for people. You know, they were selling it, or they were getting ready to sell it, or whatever. And one time we had a batch of blackberry thorns. It was just massive. And we were using backhoes to move this stuff. It was just thick. It was just, you can imagine. And that's what we did. We basically piled it up and burned it. I mean, we weren't going to, cut it up and put it in bags or anything. But they were a mess. It was not good. Had to have thick gloves on, as you can imagine. I mean, it was just a mess. Wanted them gone. They wanted them to be destroyed and burned. And we burned the whole pile of them down. But thorns are what we normally disdain and discard. But the thorns of Calvary show us some things, and we're going to look at that tonight. The thorns of Calvary. First of all, the thorns of Calvary, they rested on Jesus. Go to John chapter 19. We were just there. John chapter 19. Look at verse number 2. John chapter 19. Thorns are going to show us some things, and it'll be a blessing to you. John chapter 19, verse 2 says, "The soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head." The thorns rested on Jesus. They were on him. They were physically on his head. They were resting on his head. Those thorns rested on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they stayed there.
Yes.
We'll read later on that where they took the robe and stuff off of him, but the crown was never removed. They stayed there. They stayed with the Lord. If you go to Matthew chapter 27, another thing about these thorns, Matthew chapter 27, Matthew chapter 27, verse number 29, it says there, about Matthew 27, verse 29, "And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed it to the knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews! Hail, King of the Jews!'" These thorns were used to embarrass Jesus Christ. They were used to embarrass him in front of the world. They were used to embarrass him. Another thing we're going to see is Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. You say you're not staying long on these points. Well, you'll see why as we get further on. Mark chapter 15, verses 16 through 20. It says there, Mark 15, 16 through 20. Another thing about these thorns. Mark 15, 16 through 20. "And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band, and they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head. And they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it upon his head, and they began to salute him and "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him on the head with a reed and spit upon him, and bowing their knees worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off their purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. These thorns, you'll see that the soldiers, the thorns were brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were brought to Jesus. In verse 16, "The soldiers led him away into the Praetorium, and they called together the whole band, and they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head." They brought it to him, right to him, for him, and put it about his head. They were brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't something that just happened or appeared, and he didn't get them himself. They were brought to him. Another thing is that nobody else wanted these thorns. Nobody else stepped in and said, "I'll take care of this for you." Disciples were nowhere to be seen. God himself didn't step in. Nobody stopped. Nobody else wanted these thorns. The Lord took them. And in John 19, verse 5, if you go back to John 19, verse 5, you'll see just exactly that. John 19, 5, about these thorns. It says right there, "And Jesus came forth wearing the crown of thorns." They were accepted by Jesus. He took them. They were accepted by him. He didn't take them off. He didn't try to fight. He didn't twitch or turn his head. He just sat there and accepted those thorns. They were accepted by Jesus. In Mark 15, verse 20, Mark 15, verse 20, I know you're going to be doing a lot of turning. Maybe some of you have already given up on it already, but it's not bad for you. Mark 15, verse 20, Mark 15, verse 20, "And when they had mocked him and took off the purple robe from him, they put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him." Mark 15, 20, they had contact with Jesus. These thorns, they had contact with Jesus. I said before, they put the crown of thorns upon him. They put their robe on him. They put a reed in his hand, like it's like a picture of a type of a king. Then they mocked him and saluted him and everything. Then they took the robe off of him, gave him his regular clothes back, and led him out to be crucified. But the whole time, the crown never left his head. They had contact with Jesus, and they never left. They had contact with Jesus. In Isaiah 53, 11, Isaiah 53, 11. Isaiah 53, 11. It says there, "He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." The travail of his soul. These thorns caused pain for Jesus. He was experiencing pain with these thorns. And another thing about these thorns, think about it. Our Savior is going all the way, allowing this to happen to him. It says in Scripture that he didn't open his mouth. "As a lamb dumb before her shearers." Did you ever notice that? Before her shearers. He took the position of a female sheep to go to humility for you and me. Because a male sheep would balk and buck and everything else, but females won't. That's what he did that for you and me. He took it all for you and didn't say a word. And these thorns are covered by the blood of Jesus. These thorns of Calvary show us a lot of things, and they remind us of you and me.
It's good preaching.
Now, we're going to get to the message. Go back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 11. We're going to go down that same list again and see how it applies to you and I. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11, verse 28. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The Lord's talking there. That's in red if you have those Bibles. And He says He's going to give us rest. Amen. We're resting on Jesus.
Amen.
We're resting on Jesus for every day. We're resting on Jesus for our salvation. We're resting on Jesus for our eternal security. We're resting on Jesus for everything. If you understand your Bible and you understand the magnitude of what has been given to you with the salvation, the transaction that has been taking place, and all that has been bestowed upon you and me, everything literally we have is because of Jesus Christ. Everything. We're resting on Him for everything. Your next breath, it's because of Jesus Christ. Your next meal, everything. It's from the Lord. He's watching. He's taking care of us. Everything about our life is covered. He's got it taken care of. We're resting on Jesus Christ. Right now, as we're sitting here, listening to a message about Him, singing hymns about Him, getting ready to have a Lord's Supper to remember Him, we're resting on Jesus Christ tonight.
Amen.
Not resting in our good works, not resting in our church attendance, not resting in a tithe you put in the plate there, not resting in taking the ordinances of Lord's Supper here, baptism, not resting in your Bible. You're resting in Jesus Christ right now. And listen, that'll be forever. We're never, ever going to not be resting in Jesus Christ. Go to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. It says there, Mark chapter 14 and verse number 71. This is Peter, but he began to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not this man of whom ye speak." And, of course, he's denying the Lord here, like the Lord told him he would do. And he does it right here. And the second point that I gave you before was the thorns were used to embarrass Jesus. And we're used to embarrass Him as well. The devil will get in your life, he'll get into my life, and he'll get us to do something. And next thing you know, we're called on the carpet. And the first thing they say, "Aren't you a Christian?
You're right.
Aren't you going to church? Well, what about your kids, your wife?" Or, amen?
You're right, preacher.
We're used. We are manipulated. We are pawns in the game of Satan Almighty to go against God, take the glory away from Him, and keep the world distracted from the saving knowledge of the gospel that they need to hear.
Yes.
Because if our testimony is hindered, if our testimony is hurt or it's defiled in some way, there goes your opportunity to witness to your family, to the people around you, where you work, your friends, whatever. First thing happens, they'll say, "Well, it's just a big lie. Look what happened to so-and-so." And you're thinking about people like that. I'm thinking about people like that. And the world knows them by name too. They're still God's children, yes, but they're useless for God. Amen.
Yes.
What do? We pray for them. We still love them. We encourage them because I shouldn't have said they're useless to God. If they're breathing, God can use them some way, but they have massively hindered what God can do. Amen. And the world remembers everything. Except what they should remember, like Bible verses. I mean, we have, those of us here adults, how hard is it to memorize Scripture? Amen? It's hard. It would have been nice to have been saved as a child, because you just soak everything up like a sponge. But as an adult, my goodness, I mean, it is flat out work just to read your Bible, let alone trying to memorize it and get that in there. And then you got the world going against you. I mean, I can remember songs. You know what I really hate? Walking into Walmart or some store, and a song will come on. And I can sit there and sing every word. And it's been 30 years since I heard it.
Yeah.
But it's in my head.
Yes, sir.
First three notes, I recognize a song. I can tell you the group, the year that came out, and the name of the song. I hate that.
You're right.
But it's life. That's the way it is. We can be used to embarrass Jesus Christ. And the devil will do that, amen? When secular songs come on, and it happens to be one of your old favorites or whatever it was, you know, like ones that they just, like, you know, you can sing all the words to, and you slip up, and you fall out of this, you fall out of fellowship with the Spirit of God, and you get into the flesh, and you start singing and tapping your foot and everything else like that, everybody's watching you at work, your family, saying, yeah, he's Christian, okay. He knows the song better than I do. Amen. You say that doesn't matter. Yes. Yes, it does. Amen. We can be used to embarrass Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
If you don't think you're able to be used that way, you are deceived.
Yes, sir.
They were brought to Jesus. John 1:42. I thank God for this one here. Amen. Being brought to Jesus Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation stone. Andrew, his brother, brings Peter to Jesus. Amen. What a blessing. He was brought to Jesus. Amen. Who brought you to Jesus? Was it your mom or your dad? Sunday school teacher, preacher, somebody knocking on your door? Who was it? Somebody. God used somebody to bring you to Jesus. That's the way God does it. You didn't just wake up one day and say, "I'm getting saved." Somebody had to tell you you were lost. The Holy Spirit had to get in there and convict you of your sin. The Holy Spirit had to get you to realize hell is hot and the flames are real, and you're going to go through a rock like a spider web, you're going to go straight to hell without Jesus Christ, and you had to be concerned about that before you ever thought about getting saved. Somebody brought you to Jesus.
Amen.
Thank God they did. Amen.
Amen.
And now that we've been brought, we need to bring.
Yeah.
Amen. We need to bring. Amen. It doesn't end with us. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the thorns of Calvary. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, excuse me, verse 26. It says there, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, that God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." Amen. Nobody else wanted those thorns. Amen. Your life and mine, as we're growing up and we're going through life, nobody really cares about you. The devil doesn't care about you. This world doesn't care about you. Your friends, if their attitudes change, they don't care about you. You mention the name of Christ and get saved, and your so-called friends, they're gone. Which is a good thing, by the way.
Amen.
You need them to go when you get saved. You need them to go. But nobody else wanted them. Jesus came because there was a need.
Amen.
All of humanity, there was no hope at all. Anywhere. Not in any other galaxy. Not in any other being. There was absolutely no hope for humanity. He had to come.
Amen. Yes, sir.
He had to come. Nobody else wanted them. Go to Ephesians 1, verse number 6. Ephesians 1, verse number 6. The thorns of Calvary. Ephesians 1, 6. It says there in Ephesians 1, 6, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherewith he hath made us accepted in the beloved." These thorns were accepted by Jesus Christ, and so are we. Amen?
Amen.
"To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." You talk about people here preaching about accepting Jesus Christ, accepting God, accepting the Word of God. He's accepted us. Amen.
Amen.
Why? Because we accepted him.
Amen.
Amen. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, what he's done, we looked at it and says, "That's what I need. Yes, I'll take it. I thank you for doing that. Please come and be my Savior." And because of that relationship, we are accepted.
Amen.
Amen. He reciprocates that back to us. What a blessing. Amen.
Amen.
We're accepted by Jesus Christ. And this acceptation is eternal. We'll never get to the point of losing our salvation. We can be disobedient children, and there's a boatload of us, but we're still his children. Amen. We're accepted. Amen. Praise the Lord. Heaven is our home. Amen. That's where we're going to go. It's where we belong. Go to Colossians chapter 1, 9 through 14. It says there, For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might work worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Amen. What is all that for? What does that mean? It lets us know none of this is possible. All that we've read right here, we have all of this. Why? Because we have contact with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's not a God that is afar off and cannot be touched. Amen. We can bow the knee. We can bow the head. We can drive down the road and pray and talk to God. And that quick we have contact with Jesus Christ. He is there. He's within us. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. We have contact with Jesus. He knows us. We know Him. And that relationship has got to be strengthened. It's got to be nurtured. It's got to be. It's got to grow. It's got to blossom. It's got to please Him. And it's all about that relationship we have with Him. And we have contact with Jesus Christ today. Why? Because of Him. Not because of our church, not because of where we live or who we are, but because of what He's done. And we just simply held out our hand like a beggar and said, please, help me. And He saved our soul, amen. We have contact with Jesus. That's why we have all these things, giving thanks unto the Father. He's made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Why? Because of Jesus Christ, who delivered us from the power of darkness. Amen. Translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Amen. We have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Why? Because we have contact with Him. He's a real Savior. He's my, amen. He's my personal Savior today, amen. I'm not preaching to you about a Savior that I've heard about. I'm not preaching to you about somebody that I've read about or I've sang about or I've watched on TV. He's my Savior. I'm talking to somebody that I love and I know, and He knows me and He's with me, and no matter where I go, He's right there with me. He's been there before me. He's my Savior, amen. And that'll never, ever end. Have contact with Jesus Christ, amen, at a moment's notice, all the time. We're always there with Him, amen. What a blessing, amen. These thorns can teach us a lot. He never took those thorns off, amen. He never took them off. 1 Peter chapter 2, it says there in 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter, excuse me, 1 Peter chapter 2, it says there in verse 21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously." In verse 24, "Who in His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed." Amen. Those thorns cause pain for Jesus Christ, and you and I cause pain for Him as well. We did it on Calvary's cross. You say, "I wasn't there." Yes, you were. He saw you when He was on the cross. How can He do that? He's God. He saw you before you were even a gleam in your dad's eye. He saw you. He knew you. And He died for you. He loves you. And the thing about this pain causing pain for Jesus, we didn't just cause Him pain on Calvary. We cause Him pain every day after salvation too. Amen.
Yes.
Every single one of us. You say, "Not me." Yes, you too. There's not one single person on this planet that is 100% right with God all the time.
Right.
Not one person on the planet. That's why He's got to stay inside of us to keep us on the right path.
Amen.
And even with that standing, settled fact of eternity, we still have a problem in obedience.
Yes.
Can you imagine if it was another way?
Good preaching.
We cause pain for Jesus. And it didn't just stop on Calvary. He has pain for us every single day. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You realize your sin affects more than just your pathetic little life.
Right.
You say, "Jesus feels my sin, my pain, my sin?" Yes. It seems kind of obvious, but we just totally blow, we don't get it most of the time. We say, well, nobody can see me. I'm over here. I'm over there. It's, you know, it's dark or whatever. I'm going to do this. I'm going to watch this. I'm going to whatever. We're oblivious. It causes him pain. Daily. 1 John 1:9, amen, needs to be one of the most precious verses to you every moment of every day. It's not a plan of salvation. It's keeping yourself clean and right with God. When you make something, you do something wrong, you say, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Help me not to do it again. Why do you have the ability to do that? Because you have a relationship already.
Yes, sir.
It's not a plan of salvation. It's getting staying right with God because with your salvation, amen. We cause pain for the Lord Jesus Christ. God help us that He would have less pain because of us. Amen. Tomorrow. Revelation 1:5. You see there, Revelation 1:5. Real good verse, Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Amen. He washed us from our sins in His own blood. And then if you want to dovetail into the message from this morning, it says in verse 6, hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father, and to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. But we're looking here about the thorns of Calvary. The last point I mentioned was they're covered by the blood of Jesus. Here, right here, it says where He washes us from our sins in His own blood. You got to get covered if you're getting washed. Amen.
Yes.
You don't wash your clothes by just dipping them and hanging them on a line to dry. You cover them up. They're getting sloshed around and getting washed. Amen. That's, our sins are gone. They're completely covered. Amen. Why?
Amen.
Because He washed us. He covered us in His own blood. Amen.
Yes.
Thank God for that. Amen. It's not just a nice song for a lyric, for a nice phrase for a lyric in a song. It's not just a nice title for a message or a good idea. It's a fact. He washed us in His own blood, and that's why our salvation is secure. Amen. His blood was the remedy for our sin. Amen. Amen. That's why He had to die. The thorns of Calvary remind us, as you can see, they remind us of ourselves. You think about those thorns on Calvary, now you're going to look at them and you're going to think about yourself. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 6, we're going to go back to a verse we read earlier, and you're going to see something that just really just, it was a blessing to me. And it was a blessing. Go to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, look at verse number 7. It says, for the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringing forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiving blessing from God. Notice there's a continuation of the thought there, semicolon. Verse 8, but that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Verse 9, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. This is a picture of Jesus Christ and us and the thorns. Look at verse 8. That which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, nigh unto cursing, and whose end is to be burned. He experienced hell for you and for me. He not just the pain of our sin, not just the separation from His Heavenly Father, but He experienced hell. He experienced all of our sin upon Him and the payment for all of that. He was the complete, total, satisfactory propitiation to satisfy God Almighty where everything is covered. He experienced it all for you and for me. In verse 9 it says, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. Why? Because He did that.
Amen.
We're not going to be rejected. We're not going to be ended up burned. Why? Better things for you and me. Why? Notice this, and the things that accompany salvation. Salvation has a whole lot that goes with it, buddy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Home in heaven, for sins forgiven, eternal life. Amen. It goes on and on and on. Salvation is a blessing. Why? Because of what He did. Persuaded better things of you. Amen. Because of Jesus Christ. Now, using the word better, one more verse. Look at Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9, verse 23. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these. Talking about the sacrifices that were done on this earth here. but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices yes. than these. Amen. That's Jesus Christ right there.
Oh, yeah.
He's better, amen.
Yes, sir.
Beautiful picture of Jesus Christ in Hebrews 6, how he made things better for you and me, and things that accompany salvation. And why? Because right here in verse chapter 9, 23, because he is better. He made things better for us. We have a home in heaven. We have eternal life. We have a relationship with God Almighty. Our sins are forgiven. It's better, amen. It never ends. Why? Because he is better. Those thorns that he bore on Calvary, picture you and me. Amen.
Amen.
We deserved something else. Thorns are normally something you disdain and discard. Just get rid of them. But he wore them as a crown on purpose. He knew it was coming. He's God. He let it be put on his head, plated upon his head, and he didn't take them off. It's a picture of you and me, amen. His love is overwhelming, and it's real, and it's mine tonight. I hope it's yours tonight.
Amen.
And it's real, amen.
Amen.
What a blessing, amen, Pastor.